You're invited to join me in the real deal. Well, you'll learn how to own that remodeling job and get paid what you're worth. This is my signature two-day training for serious interior designers who want to bring consistently high-profit remodeling jobs into their business. For complete information and tickets, go to interiordesignbusinessacademy.com. See you there. I'm Terry Taylor, and this is the Interior Design Business Academy podcast. As an interior designer, you may be thinking, I love what I do, but I am so overworked and underpaid. Let me tell you, I've been there too. I spent many years learning from my own mistakes and developing proven strategies and systems to make interior design a profitable career while keeping it fun and creative. So now, I'm here to help you get paid what you're worth. If you're ready for some straight talk about how design business really works, and you're ready to break through old belief systems that are holding you back and shift into beliefs that support your goals and bring lasting success, you are in the right place. Hey, I was talking to a designer yesterday about a job she's on that should be really good. So it was a referral that came from a realtor. So it was a warm lead. Okay. So that's always good. About 8,000 square feet of house empty. Okay. There's a good thing. Needs some updating and needs furniture through the whole thing. Young family, two income professionals, pretty much ideal client situation, right? So what's the problem? Well, the problem is the clients, the young family, wanted to paint first. Okay. Now we don't normally do paint first, right? Because we're figuring out what the whole thing's going to be, but they have young kids. They want to move in the house. They don't want the kids and the paint together and that sort of thing. Okay. That sounds fine. All right. We can take care of that. Not a big deal, but what happened after that, after we got all that paint done, was that we didn't have any sequence in place of what was going to happen next. So the next thing they wanted were to replace all the light fixtures, all the sconces, that sort of thing. They picked out something from Pottery Barn and were sending our designer pictures going, what about this? What about that? None of which was appropriate for where she thought they were going. All right. And what's happened, and you can still, the story goes on and on, right? Somehow this job that should be really, really good has turned into not really good because the designer has lost control. Okay. The clients are simply sending her stuff that they want to buy and want her to bless it. Okay. And I use that word generously, right? Okay. Now you've had jobs like this, but that's not what this designer thought she was getting into. Okay. It's not the way they want to go, right? And the choices these people are making are not where it needs to go as well. But what's happened is she's actually turned into a personal shopper instead of a designer. Okay. Because she's no longer in control of this job. The clients are saying, we want this. We want you to do this. We want you to do this. The clients have no idea what the proper sequence of this is to do. Right? They just, in a vacuum, because they're actionable and they're high-end professionals, they're going to jump in and do something, make something happen if she's not. Okay? So what's happened here was a loss of control. Okay? And you don't want to get there because here's that nice, fat, beautiful job, yet we're in a position where we've been turned into a personal shopper. There's no design plan. There is no want for a design plan. There's no framework around this at all. It's just these people are running amok. So how did that happen? How did this really good job with these really good ideal clients, right property, right thing going, how did this get so backwards? Well, here it is. She didn't set up the job first before she got started. You know, she just took a retainer and jumped in. Okay. Now you can see how that happens because the clients wanted to do this little paint thing first and she go, yeah, I can take care of that. But what happened is that if you start a job that way and don't say it's ever going to be anything different than clients going, I want and you produce, right? You know, it's kind of like having your puppet strings pulled, then that's the way it's going to be. Okay. So it didn't get set up properly in the beginning. Okay. She didn't tell them how the job would unfold. She didn't reveal her process as to what would happen first and what would happen next and how all those pieces fall together to create this beautiful house that she could create for them that isn't going to happen, right? If she keeps going the way she is, it's just going to be a mess. And you all know that, you know, you've all been caught in these kind of things. This is not something you can photograph. This is just something that gets really icky. Really icky. Okay. But she didn't set up the situation where she could keep it under control. She never told them what we were going to do next. She never had a schedule for how this was all going to unfold. She didn't explain her process clearly so that they knew that we were going to do this and then we're going to do this and then we're going to do this. She didn't give them any time frame, no timeline as to how this was going to happen or when our meetings would be or how that would work. Okay. Didn't establish a budget first. Okay. If we don't talk about budget first and get budget approval, not just a little brief conversation, but actual approval of we are going to spend $500,000 furnishing this house. Okay. If that doesn't happen, you don't have the commitment for going forward to do that. Okay. You don't actually have the project. You haven't gotten your arms around it yet is what happened there. And then if you don't have a letter of agreement, which she didn't, that had all the deliverables on it, the whole schedule of what it was she was going to produce for them, what they were going to get, when they were going to get it, all of those pieces were not revealed to these clients. Okay. And because there was no budget and agreed upon, there's no design fee because there's no way to do it. She just took a little retainer and wants to bill some hours. Well, she's going to get her strings pulled like a puppet and not made profitable in any way at all because the clients are running the job. All right. Okay. And so this is about not getting so enthused about having a great job come to your lap. I mean, because it really is. And leaping in with all the enthusiasm and show them, yeah, I can get this done. But what she didn't do was plan the job and set it up for these people so they knew what was happening so that they could count on what was next and what was next and what was next, that their job and their home was moving forward. Wasn't in there. Okay. So we're lacking deliverables and we're lacking a design fee. Now, okay, just a little hint in here. When you charge a substantial design fee, in this case, you know, if we're going to project that it take $500,000, you know, and this is just our conversation, you got to get client agreement. But in our conversation, we're looking at this is about $500,000 worth of furniture. At 15%, she'd have a $75,000 fee. If she landed that $75,000 fee right in the beginning of this conversation, right in the beginning of this job when she was signing it up, you know what? They'd listen to her. Okay. When you charge people quite a bit for what you do, they pay more attention to you. It's just that simple. Okay. They have to have some skin in the game or they'll just go do their own thing and ignore you. Okay. Which is what's happening here, right, by the way. So just a little hint there about how that works. Right. They also didn't have a clause in the letter of agreement about what happened if either party wanted to get out of this. Okay. Because she's looking at a situation that isn't pleasant. I mean, she could be locked into this for years. Of course, there's no stop date on her letter of agreement either. Okay. You need to have these boundaries in place with these people, especially in these big jobs and especially when there's so much at stake, because there's a whole lot of money that's going to get left on the table here because this wasn't set up properly right from the beginning. Okay. And there's no clause of what happens if either party wants to get out of the job. If she wants to fire them and move on to another client where she can actually do design and not be a puppet and be a shopping person for them, then she's going to have to get out of this job. Now, getting out of the job is a good idea at times. When you get in situations that just are not working and you know, aren't going to get any better. They're only going to get worse, right? Once you get started on that, that's the path you're on. You'd be far better off to let go of this and create the space for somebody new to come in that you can actually set up properly and work with and actually do what you can do for them. This situation isn't going to give these people what they want. They're going to be unhappy. It's not giving the designer what she wants. She's not happy. You're not going to be able to photograph it. It's going to be a mess. It'll be something that she doesn't want to put her name on. Why would you go forward with that? Okay. You know, there's the lure of, oh, well, it's a big house and it's empty and I might sell some furniture. Well, you might, but you might, you know, you might pay in blood to get it out. It's like, this is not the situation you want to be in. Okay. So every time you write a letter of agreement, you want to make sure you've got that clause in there that says that should either party want to be out of this agreement, they just need to notice the other one and the designer will be paid for everything she did up until that point and we're done. Okay. There's a whole lot of business that needs to be set up here. And I realize that y'all went to school for design. You didn't go to school for business, right? And it's tough. It took me years and years to figure this stuff out. And I had a pretty good background. I mean, I had a whole career in commercial real estate before this. So, I mean, I had a lot of input into being able to do this. And it still took me years to figure it out. But the reality is you can't step into these monster jobs with these very high profile people who are actionable and do things and expect you to match their energy and their movement if you're not ready for it. Okay. So, you know, here's the thing. Here's these clients with a big empty house. They're both executives. Okay. They're actionable people. Okay, let's talk about that again. They're actionable. When they hire someone, they expect things to happen. They expect you to walk in and say, here's what I can do for you, and here's how it'll happen. This, this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then we'll order, and I will be here for the install, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, we'll do a big reveal, we'll have a party. Okay, all of that needs to be in place. You need to be able to talk that through as this is what we do. Because just landing the client doesn't make you a high-end designer. You've got to be able to match their energy in confidence, in your process, in organization, in the your ability to present. All of those things have to be on your game. Okay? So what do I mean by that? Well, think about it. We can project out that this 8,000 square foot house would probably need, about 500,000 to finish it out and really have rooms that were reasonably well completed. And granted, yeah, that doesn't give you a lot of layers, but it would get basically everything in there and get it working well and presentable and entertainable and all of that sort of thing, right? So when you think about that, you've got a good $75,000 in fee to do that, design fee alone, once you have agreement to the budget, okay? That is that skin in the game, right, where people are committing to do the job. What we had in that situation I'm talking about, there was no commitment. There was no commitment beyond let's paint it and now I want light fixtures. It's like, yes, you know, it's in the future. We want to do this, but the designer didn't capture what it is that they wanted as a job. And now paying the price, you know, it's painful. And I'm sorry, you know, it's not fun when that happens, but think about this. You got a $75,000 fee. That's enough to get some skin in the game. And you got people who realize they're going to spend $500,000. Okay. That's a commitment. All right. When you have that kind of commitment, you don't get in that situation where they're throwing things at you, trying to get you to bless their own stuff. Okay. They're going to step into you and have you do this whole piece because you've got the whole thing under control. When you don't present that way and you don't present with a process of how we're going to get from empty house to finished place that you can entertain in, if you can't explain that process and how we're going to do it and how we're going to do it in a reasonable amount of time, you're going to get lost in this job. And it's going to be painful. You know, the days of being able to just add a piece, it doesn't work. Okay. It takes way too much time. It doesn't pay off. And you can't have a business that way. But that way, you can have a practice. You can have a hobby business doing that, But without any framework, working with this kind of client just doesn't work because, you know, you've got a whole lot on the table there and they want to see it happen. You know, when you think about the profit that's involved in this, you'd have about $75,000 in fees. You'd have probably about $200,000 in profit in all that furniture. I mean, that's a $275,000 payday. That could be half your year. Okay. You know, half your one job, half your year. I mean, that's what we're all looking for, right? But you've got to get into it right from the beginning. And it doesn't start with just doing one thing. You don't start by just starting. Okay. You start by planning. Okay. We would never just jump into a furnishing job like, well, let's just buy a sofa. Let's just do this. Let's do that. You would plan the whole thing out. Okay. You've got to plan the business part out too, so that people understand what you do and what's happening and how it works. Okay. So, you know, in order to realize the profit in these jobs, and I'm all about not leaving money on the table. I'm pretty bold about money, quite frankly. It took me a long time to learn to talk about money. It took me a long time to learn to be bold about money. Being clear about money and being able to talk about it and asking for what I'm worth in a design situation or any other situation we do is the hallmark of success. Okay. It's that important. Okay. In this case, we can say, all right, how should this job should have gone? What would have happened? Okay. Well, first of all, you'd get a budget. Okay. You can get a budget with the budget on the fly. Process we teach. I'm teaching it in Summit, you know, coming up in November, very soon. You know, if you've never gone to it, you need to, because it'll teach you how to do that. You actually get budget agreement with a client. You don't tell them. It's not this hazy thing. The two of you together come up with a real budget of what it's going to take to do what it is that these people want to do. And you agree that you could do it for that much. And they agree that they can afford to spend that much. That is budget agreement. Okay. That is what needs to happen first. In a big house like this, you probably would not do budget on the fly on every single room. You might do it on the living room and the master bedroom, for instance, and then extrapolate out those square footage costs into the whole thing. Something like that would be a good way to do it. You know, doing it room by room might make you crazy. All right. But, you know, what will happen is that when you do a budget on the fly, people tell you what they're comfortable with paying for things. And then you build out that budget. You know what the kind of client this is. That you do before you ever take the job on. Okay. Because that budget agreement is what gets your fee. When you get that budget agreement of, say, $500,000, then you can call the fee out at $75,000. Really easy. Okay? Really easy. All right? So, you know, number two, you got to explain your process to these people. Clearly, what's going to happen? I'm going to do this. First, we're going to come in and do our programming. We're going to take measures, pictures, da-da-da-da-da. Then we're going to have a schematic meeting. Okay. And I'm going to show you what our concepts are for these spaces and what we think the best space plans, furniture plans are for these spaces. And we want to get your approval on all this so that we know we're going in the right direction. Okay. That would be step two. You can expect step two in about 3 weeks from when we sign this contract. Right? Doable. Okay. Then they know what's happening. They don't have to jump in and do something. They know it's happening and they have the next date at that you're going to meet and what it is that you're going to have at that point. Okay. You know, you explain all of the process all the way through. You explain that after that schematic meeting, we're going to have design development meetings. And we're going to take these schematics and we're going to turn them into finished rooms. Now, you might have, in a 8,000 square feet, you might have two or maybe three design development meetings where you're presenting three or four rooms at a time. Okay. There's a limit to how much people can swallow at once. I mean, we could do 8,000 feet and and present it and know what's going on quite easily, but they don't. They're not doing what we are. All right. So you got to make it easier to swallow. You got to do it in chunks. All right. But you would explain that. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to do this living room, dining room, great room thing. Your spaces first. Then we'll get the kids' bedrooms. Then, you tell them how it's going to work and when it's going to happen. You talk about purchasing, when our purchasing meeting is, and how you provide white glove service for the purchasing. So you don't have to worry about anything. We take care of all of it. We get it in the receiving warehouse. We take care of all the problems, freight problems, damages, that sort of thing that can happen. Organize everybody, get all the ducks lined up. This is the white glove service. You need to explain that, okay? That is the reason why you don't have to pay attention to internet prices. Internet prices don't come with white glove service. We don't even know what they are. We don't even know if they've got the product. I mean, it's ridiculous. Okay. So, you know, explaining how this is going to work. Okay. And explaining who's going to do the purchasing and that we're not going to do hybrid purchasing because there's too many cooks in the kitchen. Makes a mess. Not going to do that. Okay. Your boundaries need to get explained right now because these people, they don't know how to put together a big house. They have no idea. But if you don't tell them, they're going to go try to figure it out. And it's probably not going to be very good because they don't have anything to base it on. Okay. So you've explained this timeline, when that purchasing meeting's going to happen, and how that, you know, when we do that, we need to pay for all this stuff in full so that they have their money ready. So it's out of the money market or wherever it is they have it, and it's available. All right. You could also explain that once we get all that together, you know, the price holds are only 72 hours or so. I would do that because things change. Okay. And we know we can get this product right now. We need this decision now. Okay. We've already seen that all the way through. So it's not a difficult thing to do. The number three thing is you got to write the letter of agreement. Okay. You really do. And you have to be thoughtful about it and conscious about what's going on. You're going to be specific about your deliverables. Okay. Exactly what you're going to deliver. You know, how many selections you're going to provide, right? How many meetings we're going to have to do this. Okay. We can talk about things like response times and meeting schedules. And, you know, in something like this, I do biweekly meetings so that I had something every 2 weeks to show them, to keep them going and keep them saying yes to. Okay. And perhaps a how we work statement that has the rules of, you know, when your office hours are, when you can look at their ideas that they've seen on the internet and want to talk about, and when you can't. Okay. When programming's over and we're not going to do that. So you start establishing these boundaries right in the beginning so they know how it works. They're fine with it. They're happy to have a process and somebody who's going to run it. They just need to know it's there. Okay. And you want to do the paint first? You can do that. Of course you can do it. You just make that the first deliverable. We'll take care of that first. No problem. But at the same time, I'd say concurrently, you would want to have the first schematic presentations, those concepts and space plans, furniture plans, that sort of thing, ready at the same time. While that's going on, we're looking at the whole thing. Okay. So there's a different mindset there where you're in control and saying, this is how this all comes together. Not the client saying, this is what I want now. And this is what I want next. And this is what I want next, because it just makes a mess. Okay. So the point here is that you have to stick to the plan. You have to stick to your process that you have in place and always do what you say you're going to do. You create that plan and that schedule. You're on it. You do it. Okay. You're always prepared for a meeting. You always have an agenda for the meetings that's set ahead of time and notates where decisions have to be made. So they know it ahead of time. You know why? It's so that they've got a heads up that they have to do that. It starts making everything work because you have taken control. Now, this is a bit about leadership, as you may be figuring out, but it, you know, it really is because, you know, that kind of high-end client that you want expects that kind of service and that kind of organization and that kind of process to be in place. So when you have that process in place, this is how we work. Okay. You don't change the way you work for a client who wants something different. You figure out how to take your process and blend the client into it. Okay. We call that holding your shape here at ITPA, right? This is my shape. This is how I work. This is it, okay? And we don't change process because somebody wants something different. We figure out how to blend them into that process. How, within the process, could we do that for them and get that to happen, okay? It's always there. The answer's there. It's not a problem. It's just holding to your system and holding the way things work is what makes the job come out well and keeps people under control, because they know there's an intelligence behind this. It's something that's already been figured out and that they will come out where they want. Okay. So we could easily make in this letter of agreement the paint job the first deliverable, and then just list everything after that that we're going to produce. Okay. And, you know, pretty easy, not a problem to do that. It's just a different mindset about how you look at what's going on and the fact that you always have a process, that this is how we do this, this is how we handle this, and that you stick to your process, and then you get creative of how you bring the client into it, not just throw the process out the window and start doing things that they want you to do and lose your whole business and lose your profit, lose, I'm all about not leaving money on the table. And this was a rough one, because this looked like a fabulous job, but the reality is, at the point it's at now, it's not. It's simply not, you know, and I don't know that it's going to get any better. It'd probably get worse. So it may be letting go is the best thing. So, you know, if you don't have a clear, repeatable system to produce jobs with, okay, you need one. You need to be talking to us, because that's what I teach here. Okay. We have those processes in place. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is how you do it. It's a chunk of what we teach here at IDBA, not all of it, but an important piece for managing this kind of job and ending up with what you should have out of it, getting paid what you're worth, quite frankly. Okay. So, you know, if you're looking for that sort of thing, please check us out. Get on the website. It's interiordesignbusinessacademy.com. Just jump on there, click on one of the buttons that says book a call, right? It'll get you into the system so you can speak with me or one of your coaches about how we do that and how it could help you, and if that's a fit or not, or however you want to do that. But, you know, it's not a pressure call. It's just, you know, this is what we do. If you need to be a part of this, we've got the answers. Okay. So until next time I talk to you, design something beautiful, plan the job before you jump in so that you get paid what you're worth. Bye now. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Interior Design Business Podcast. If you love what you're learning, head over to interiordesignbusinessacademy.com and book a clarity call. This is the perfect way to chat with one of our coaches about where you are in your business and what your next best step needs to be to make your design business profitable and enjoyable. As always, you can head over to interiordesignbusinessacademy.com to check out the links and resources from this episode. So until next week, design something beautiful and get paid what you're worth.